You were born to create. You were born to conquer. You were born to accomplish. You were born to succeed. You were born to rule. The highest mountain, mankind's climbed it. The lowest depths of the sea where the Titanic sits, we've been there and explored it. We've built space shuttles to go boldly where no man has gone before, for you Trekkie fans. We've made bits to put in horses' mouths so we can teach them to go where we want. These magnificent animals we can control, and we can make them run around racetracks if we want, or wherever we want them to go. We teach dogs to lay over and play dead. I mean, we have the ability to rule, and it's a God-given ability to rule. And when we see chaos in the midst of what we've been called to rule, what do? We engage that chaos. We put structure into that chaos. We see that the house needs sweeping, so what do? We grab a broom. We get the vacuum cleaner and we clean it up. We see that the kitchen's cluttered and so we organize it. That's all a part of how God has designed us. It's all a part of how God has wired us. God has created you to rule. He's created you to rule. If we go back to the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis chapter 1, the Word of God says, God said, let us, and that's the Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit speaking to one another, and they're saying, hey, let us create mankind in our image and in our likeness. We are the greatest of God's creation. So that why? So that they might rule over the fish. So that they might rule. The idea is it rule over each of these. Rule over the birds in the sky. Rule over the livestock. And the wild animals rule over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. He created them. And God blessed them and he said, be fruitful, increase or multiply. Fill the earth and do what? Subdue it. Rule. God has created you and me to rule. And I don't know if you ever thought about that before. But that's one of the primary reasons that you're here on earth, is to rule over it. You're created to rule. Now, here's the thing about a ruler. And I mean someone who rules, not a ruler like you. Man, okay, that's 12 inches. Here's the thing about a ruler. You're only going to be a great ruler if you're a great follower. The best leaders make the best followers. A person who's leading that doesn't want to follow anyone is not going to make a good leader. He's going to make a dictator or a tyrant instead. The best leaders, the best rulers are the best followers. And therein lies the rub, because the idea of following someone is the idea of submission. It's the idea of submission. When we hear the word submit, what do? What's that? Yeah, it's weak. I mean, nobody jumps up for joy, right? Yes, submit. Can't wait. Nobody does that. What do they immediately do? You know, whatever the hair they have on their back of their neck, stand straight up. You know? And it may not be an outward thing. It's more of an inward thing. It's like, nope, not happening today. And here's the thing with Adam and Eve. When you go back to creation, they had it all. They're on the top of the food chain, so to speak. The apex of God's creation, made in his image. They had the authority. They had the power to rule. They had the right to rule because God had given it to them. And they said, it's not enough. I want to be like God. I don't want to submit. I don't want to submit. God had told them, there's only one thing I want you to submit to me to and my authority. There's one tree right in the middle, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat it. Just don't eat it. And now you may be thinking, oh yeah, there's two options, you know, do I go with the green beans or the brownies kind of thing? You know, it's like green beans, brownies, I don't know. And somehow you find yourself wandering over to the brownies. Oh. No, it wasn't like that. Everything's absolutely perfect. Every option that they legitimately had in submission to God's authority was an amazing option. But they said, no, that's not enough. We want to be like God. And so they refused to submit to his authority. Now fast forward ahead all the way to the first century. Jesus Christ has lived, died, and rose again. And there's this group of followers. They're Jewish. Hence the book of Hebrews is called Hebrews. Hebrews, Jewish people. Turn with me there, please. Turn with me to chapter 2 of Hebrews. And these people, these Jewish people, these Jewish Christians, these followers of Jesus Christ, they started to drift away, you know, kind of like a lazy river. Is anybody here like going to Schlitterbahn and just getting on that lazy river? See, that's what I do. If we go to Schlitterbahn, my older boys and Daniel starting to get in that category, I say, boys, don't get hurt. Be smart and have fun. I'll see you later. I'll be on the lazy river. But the thing about it, this river that's being described that we're drifting down in the Bible is not circular. It doesn't bring you back to where you started. It's more like the Guadalupe. And you get on it, and those people who put you in the river, they get further and further and further away till they're out of sight and they're out of mind. And you know what? That's what can happen in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We can start drifting, and all of a sudden he becomes out of sight, out of mind. And that had happened in these Jewish believers. They started ignoring Jesus. They started ignoring his authority. They started to forget. They started to forget that Jesus is better. They started looking back at other options, like going back to their old life as Jewish people and turning away from Jesus. And not only did they forget that he has authority to speak into their lives, they forgot that he'd given them authority to speak into other people's lives. They'd forgotten that they, along with him, were rulers. Remember, God created us to rule. They're his ambassadors. They're his delegates. They're his stewards of what he had blessed them with. And they were supposed to go out. As Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then he says, go. And they'd forgotten that. And they kind of hold up, and they drifted away. And so the author or authors of Hebrews, we don't know for sure who wrote it, are calling them back, and they're going to remind them, Jesus has ultimate authority. And by the way, you have authority too. You have authority to rule. And the first thing he's going to hit on is the fact that angels do not have ultimate authority. Angels don't have ultimate authority. The world, look with me at verse 5, the world to come will not be ruled by angels. Verse 5 of chapter 2 says, it's not to angels that he is subjected. And that's the Greek word there is the word for submission. Hupostasso is the word, and it's the word for submission. They are not going to be in a place where the world has to submit to them. The world to come, the world when Jesus Christ comes back. Angels are not going to have authority in that world, they say, about which we are speaking. Now, that begs the question, do they have authority now? Do angels have authority to rule right now? What do you think? Do you think they have any authority to rule right now? Maybe, maybe not. Well, the Hebrew people believe that they did, and I'll show you why. They went back to a passage in Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 32, verse 8. It says, when the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, the Most High being God, and when he divided all mankind, he set up boundaries. Think of it like countries or nations for the peoples according to the number of the angels of God. So when God broke things out, you know what he did? He delegated authority to angelic beings to actually rule or influence over these nations. Here's another passage in Daniel 10 which really makes it clear. In Daniel 10, it says this, the prince of Persia, prince of the Persian kingdom, resisted me, and this is the angel speaking to Daniel in a vision. He resisted me for 21 days. Now, who's the prince of Persia? Is that a man? No. It's an angelic being, and I think it's a demonic angelic being who was influencing the nation of Persia. Persia was a pagan nation. They don't have anything to do with the one true God. And it says, Then Michael, who's the only archangel in the entire Bible, and notice what it calls him, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there. There's this angelic battle going on, right? Spiritual battle. I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now, I've watched some documentary on Adolf Hitler and why he was so influential over the German nation at the time. And they said that one of the things about Hitler was he would go away down to Bavaria, southern Germany, which is absolutely gorgeous. He'd go away and he'd go on long walks. And he said he just waited for this inner voice to come and speak to him and lead him and guide him into what he was supposed to do. And I thought, I know what inner voice he's listening to, and it's not a good one. Is there any doubt that he was being led by demonic forces, by probably Satan himself, to annihilate all the Jews? Who else in the Bible is constantly trying to annihilate the Jews? Satan. Is there any doubt that Satan was involved in that man's leadership? So these angels, they have influence, they have authority, but the reality is it's only for this age. The world to come, they won't have that. So the question is, who will? Who's going to have authority? You know what the answer is to that? You. You will. You ever think about that? You will have authority. Look with me back at the Word of God. Verse 6, it says, there's a place where someone has testified, and the writers are kind of being tongue-in-cheek. It's like everybody knows this. It's Psalm 8. King David has been looking up and in the stars of heaven and just basking in God's glory and magnificence. And he says, what is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? He says, you made him a little lower than the angels, yet you crowned him with glory and honor. You put everything under his feet. So here's David, and I could picture him, you know, he's a shepherd. He's leaning back. Have you ever done this in Grandview? You just kind of lean back. It's a clear night, and you're looking up at the stars, and it's just amazing how bright they are. They're just magnificent. David's doing that, and he's reflecting upon God, and then he starts reflecting upon himself, and he's going, God, look at how small we are. Look at how small we are. What is mankind that you're mindful of them, the son of man, that you care for him? And he's saying, and yet you do. Compared to this galaxy we live in, We're so small. Go to Dallas sometime when it's packed out. Go to an event like at the American Airlines Center that's full of 100,000 people. Go to a Cowboy game and you start to feel small, don't you? You're like one of 100,000 people. You know, and when you get up to those really high seats, and no, maybe you're buying those really expensive ones, I don't know. But still, you're like, wow, you know, I'm just one of 100,000. David's thinking that way, and he goes, yeah, but God, you care for us. You still care for us. You still think about us. And he goes, oh, I know you created us lower than the angels. I mean, we have human limitations. We're not powerful like angels are, right? Angels are more powerful than us. In the Bible, when someone encounters an angel, they fall down in absolute abject terror. They are scared to death when they run into an angel. Angels are crazy powerful. You made us a little lower than the angels, but then you see what he says, but you crowned us with glory and honor. As a matter of fact, Lord, you put everything under our feet. You gave us the right to rule. And that's apparent. If you go back to Genesis again, God brings every single animal that he created. And you know what Adam does when he sees the animal? He names them. He goes, you know, could you imagine that? It'd be kind of fun. Someone should do like a fun video of this. But, you know, here comes a pig. He's like, I deem that you art the pig. You know, and here comes a bird, you know. And God's got a sense of humor. Some of the animals that have been created, I mean, they're funny. You know, like chickens. You ever watch chickens? I mean, their heads are going, you know. Peacocks. You ever see male peacocks? They're constantly showing their feathers, and roosters, you know. I used to think before I moved to Grandview that roosters only crowed in the morning. wrong? You know? And, you know, here's Adam, and he's sitting there going, I deem that thou art the rooster. You know? How can he do that? Well, for the same reason that when your child is born or has been born, you have authority to say, your name's going to be Matthew, and your name's going to be Daniel, and your name's going to be Michael. How can I do that? How could Judy and I do that? We have authority to do that. God's given us authority to rule. And I want to demonstrate one more thing. If I asked you, kiddos, what is the king of the jungle, what would you tell me? Yeah, it's the lion. You know, if you were, what's that? I didn't hear that. We're the king. Well, don't steal my thunder, Lauren. So the king of the jungle is a lion, and I mean, you wouldn't want to meet him on a dark night, right? Might be a self-critiquing experience, your last one. But you know what? If I take a young child in this room, and I give them my 270 Remington, and I teach them how to line up that scope, all they've got to do is pull the trigger, and they take out the king of the jungle. See, God has given us the authority to rule. And by the way, we still do. We still do. So the author continues, and he reminds us. He says, when we look at the world, you know what we see? We see a world under our rule that's out of control. Just to emphasize the point, verse 8, in putting everything under them, God left nothing, he's emphasizing this, that's not subject or in submission to them. That's us. It says, yet at present, we don't see everything under their control. Not everything is subject to our authority. We can't control the weather. The meteorologist, you know, he's just doing his best guess. And this is Texas. So 50% of the time, he's wrong. We can't control the weather. We can't control animals. We can't control our kids or our grandkids. I know some people have suggested, you know, what you do is you buy a metal cage and you, no, I'm just joking. We can't control diseases. We can't control other people. We can't control machines. That's why when heifers get loose, it's a real pain to try and get them back, right? That's why when you're doing house repairs, you're under the mercy of the weather. If a storm rolls in, you're stuck. That's why we find people rebelling against us when we, even in a position of authority, tell them this is what they ought to do. Whether it's an overt rebellion or a passive rebellion, it's still rebellion. That's why cars break. That's why in basic relationships we struggle. I mean, oftentimes we rule and we try and use shock and awe to get our rule accomplished, power, control. And the reality is when we take a good long look at the world, we start asking ourselves, wow, is anybody in control? And you know what? There actually is someone who has authority over this world right now. And the Bible talks about him, and I mentioned how there is angelic rule right now. Well, there is an angel who has actually been given authority by God to rule over this present world. He's talked about in Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul's describing someone who does not know Jesus Christ or used to not know Jesus Christ. And he says, you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler or prince of the kingdom of the air. Who's the prince of this world? It's Satan. And 1 John 5 drives it even further home. He says, we know that we are children of God, that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. So we shouldn't be surprised when we see our world spinning out of control, because we know who's been given authority for a season over it. The devil. And that can cause us to drift in and of itself. That can cause us to despair. That can cause us to lose hope. That's why in the very next verse, the authors remind us that we see Jesus. It says, but we see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while. Jesus, who became a man. Jesus and the incarnation, who came to earth, the Son of God, God eternal, comes to earth, becomes a man, lives a perfect life, lived the life that, by the way, we should have lived, ruled the way that we should have ruled, and then Jesus, who died the death that we should have died, says now he's crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Jesus, the God-man, who lived the life that you and I should have lived, and then died the death that we should have died, so that we might live forever in relationship with God. We see Jesus, and the Bible says that he has been crowned. He's been crowned king. He is currently at the right hand of God, and he is actually exercising his rule, but it's only a partial rule. And his rule right now that he's exercising is in you and me. It's in you and me. And you say, what do you mean, Mike? Well, let me explain. Remember, people who don't know Jesus are under the authority and the control of who? Yeah. So people who do know Jesus have been released from that. And Galatians 2:20 describes it this way. It says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's a picture of dying to your old self. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. You see, Jesus Christ, the King, who sitteth at the right hand of God the Father, who lived the life we should have lived and died the death we should have died, has sent his Holy Spirit to all who believe in him so that they might rule and live for him. We have Christ within us. Jesus Christ is ruling even now. He's ruling through every one of us who knows him. He's ruling through us. When we love someone, when we love our enemies, when we bless someone, when we give to someone, when we pray for someone, when we serve someone, that's Christ in us, and he's ruling. He is ruling. And one day, he's going to return. And Revelation 22 talks about this. One day, the king is going to return. And in Revelation 22, verses 3 to 5, it says, no longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and the servants will serve him. And watch this. And they will reign with him forever and ever. Who's the they? That's everybody who knows Jesus. Did you ever think about the fact that God created us to rule? Adam and Eve messed up that rule, so God allowed angels a season to actually exercise that kind of authority. But Jesus Christ came and lived the life we should have lived and died the death we should have died so that we might rule with him forever. And he's empowered us even now to begin that rule. That's what the Bible teaches. You're a ruler. You are a ruler for Christ the King. You're an ambassador for Christ the King. You're his delegate. You're his steward. And until he returns, he's entrusted you to look over the kingdom that he's building, to rule over it in a way that pleases and honors and glorifies him and that blesses other people. I want to share with you a little bit about what that blessing is going to look like. Think about Jesus when he came. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is in your midst. My rule as your king is in your midst. And so Jesus ruled over sickness. He healed people who had palsy. He healed the paralytic. He healed the woman with the issue of blood. I can go on and on. Jesus ruled over the animals. Peter's out fishing. He's been out fishing all night long in this little boat. And he's not caught anything. Sounds like me. That's what I accomplish when I go fishing. I don't catch anything. I watch other people catch. And Jesus says, hey, Peter, cast your net on the other side of the boat. And, you know, Peter, as a good fisherman, is going, well, the water on this side of the boat is basically the same water as on that side of the boat. Okay, Jesus. And he does it, and his nets are so full of fish, they're going to break. And Peter falls down and says, Lord, I'm not worthy. He recognized that Jesus is the king and he has authority even over the animals. Jesus has authority over nature. They're out on a boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. The storm storms come up. They're scared to death. They think they're going to drown. And Jesus is sleeping. You ever been on a bumpy flight? Real bumpy, you know, one of those. And the person next to you, maybe they're your spouse. Why are you smiling? It's true. It's sitting there. Now, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing, right? I'm thinking, okay, what's going wrong here? And she's done this. This is true. I'm sitting there, and, you know, I'm really gripping hard. And she turns over, and she says, hey, we're all going to die. And it's like, shut up. That's what was happening on the boat. Jesus is sleeping, and his disciples are freaking out. And they're like, Jesus, we're all going to die. And he gets up, and he's like, what's going on? What's the problem? In the middle of the storm, you know, we're going to die. And I don't know what Jesus did, but I can imagine he probably just goes, and it's gone. It's gone. The storm's just gone. Clear skies, smooth sailing. He's the ruler over nature. He's the ruler over food and drink, our basic necessities. Some little boy comes wandering up. He's got lunch, right? He's gone to Long John Silver's or something. He's got a few fish, you know, not particularly good fish if it's Long John Silver's. And now, if you love it, I apologize. I put a lot of tartar sauce on it. You can get it down. And a few pieces of bread, and, you know, the boy's coming along, and Jesus is like, we got to feed these 5,000, which were men, so really more like 15,000 people. We got to feed them all. So what's that, about 7 times bigger than all of Grandview combined. We got to feed all these people, right? And then the disciples were like, well, they probably did it tongue-in-cheek. Hey, yeah, here you go. Here's a fish, a couple fish. Couple pieces of bread, and Jesus is like, perfect. They feed every one of them. They got 12 baskets full left over. He's the Lord over that. He rules over that. He rules over death itself. Lazarus had died. He's 3 days in the tomb. Jesus comes up and specifically says, because if he'd said, okay, everyone who's dead, come on. I mean, there would have been a lot of people walking around. He said, Lazarus, come on out, buddy. Not your time. Here comes Lazarus. Jesus, by the way, rules over the angels as well, including Satan, who he's allowed for a season to have authority. There's a man who's got this legion of demons within him, and he encounters Jesus, and they start begging him not to cast them into the pit. And Jesus says, okay, the next worst thing, I'll cast you into a bunch of pigs. Y'all can be bacon. And boom, they all go to the pigs and they go and drown the pigs in the Sea of Galilee. Jesus rules over all things. That's who he is. That's our king. And that's what we have to look forward to. We have that to look forward to. And so Jesus, who, by the way, is better, lived the life we should have lived. He died the death we should have died so that we will rule with him forever. So that you and I, everyone who knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, will rule with him forever. And so what's your next step? I've just shared with you God's truth, God's word about Jesus and his authority to rule and our authority to rule. What is your next step? Maybe it's to humbly submit yourself to Christ your King. Remember, that's what got Adam and Eve into trouble in the first place. They refused to humble themselves and submit to the Lord. Is there an area in your life where you're not doing that? It doesn't have to be a sinful area. It could be anything. Anything that you value more than the Lord. Anything that prevents you from obeying the Lord. That's an area God is revealing to you that you need to submit to him. It could be anything. It could be good things. It could be sinful things. Whatever it is there something in your life that you need to humbly submit to Jesus Christ? Maybe you need to rule well. Maybe you need rule well. Do you ever think about the fact that you are a prince or a princess? You know, I've heard parents call their children princes and princesses, but in reality, everyone who knows Jesus Christ is either a prince or a princess. C.S. Lewis did a remarkable job with his Chronicles of Narnia when he painted those young people as princes and princesses, because indeed that's what they are, because they've been called to rule. And you know what? So have you. So have you. So husbands, are you ruling well in your family? Are you loving your wife the way that Christ loves the church? Wives, are you following your husband's lead? Like Jesus Christ has called his church to follow him. Parents, are you leading and guiding your children in a way that points them towards Jesus Christ? Are you modeling that? Do as I say, not as I do, does not work. Are you teaching them God's truth and God's word? You're the primary disciplers of your kids. Children, are you submitting to your parents' authority, which, by the way, is God-given? It's God-given. When mom and dad say, hey, this is what I need you to do, it's not like an option, right? Hey, I need you to do the laundry. Like, I think I'll pray about that one. Or, you know what? I'm in the middle of a huge mash, Clash of Clans. I'm on my way to becoming a world champion. So I'll get to that later. Are you ruling well? And do you have a vision that extends beyond today? Does your vision include what Jesus Christ has for you? That future rule with him forever. Because that's what's going to happen. That's what he's called us to do. That was God's original intention. And you know what? God has been working out his plan from Genesis 3 all the way into the end of Revelation to make things the way they originally were. And he's told us to rule. He's called us to rule. And here's the reality. The world that we live in is under the influence of the evil one. It's spinning out of control. But God has empowered us, followers of his son, Jesus Christ, to rule well. He's empowered us to overcome the devil. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. He's called us to bring peace and hope and love into this world for his glory and for others' good. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this